97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. It is a Thursday morning. It looks like most of the rain is moving out of here, although there's another chance of storms this afternoon. I saw some lightning on the way in this morning, so thought to check the radar myself on my crap app, and I can see that most of it is to the north and moving off to the east of here. There's a very good chance you shouldn't have any problems during that morning commute. Sue Thomas breathing a huge sigh of relief, and unfortunately for her, it might be back in here just about the time she comes back in this afternoon. So I don't know. We'll see what happens there. Glad you're with us this morning. Kim St. Ange, Ethan Bryden here alongside Sue Thomas. She'll have your traffic for you coming up here shortly. Wow. Gorgeous day yesterday. I got to go to the pool. I was very happy.
Nice.
Got to relax a little bit, soak in the pool.
I took a long nap.
Oh, did you? Nice. How's Easton feeling? I understand he was under the weather.
He's doing a lot better. It must have been some sort of a fluke, but it's like anytime I don't think he was ever actually sick. His stomach must have just been upset for whatever reason, maybe something he ate. But it's like anytime he gets sick, I'm just bracing. Like, am I going down too? I did not. Hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully that does not happen. We certainly hope so anyway. We've got lots to get to for you this morning. Again, a great show lined up. Glad you're here with us. So we're going to get to Sheriff Dave Marshak a little later. He's talking about the Second Amendment. He and a bunch of sheriffs held a news conference the other day talking about defending the Second Amendment in Missouri. We're going to find out what that's all about from him at about 7:35 this morning. We're going to give away some more little big town tickets. We've got Shannon Bream and Griff Jenkins and Jim Talent and just all kinds of great information for you coming up here today because, wow, it's Thursday. We're moving along. I can't believe it. We've still got that benefit coming up this weekend, by the way, down in Eureka, and I'm hoping people can get out there, show some support. I'm going to be down there. It's going to be from 11 till 5 or 6 on Saturday. So get down. Don't find an excuse. Our friends at Chicken Ellie's have done so many good things for the Eureka community, and now one of their family members had a horrible accident, a car accident, and they're going to raise money for it all day long. I love how that community comes together during all of that. So we'll check that out here in just a couple of minutes. So here you go. Appreciate it, Ethan. Let's get to right now. We're going to get to this morning's top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I think a lot of people just need to get to know folks before they issue an endorsement.
I know personally. I mean, once you get to know a communist, you're going to love them. And that's AOC yesterday in New York City after her big meeting with the Zohan, Zohan Mandani. He's a socialist. He's a communist. And just to make you feel better, he won't call for an intifada anymore until he gets elected.
Well, I just want folks to know, because we are a nation of decency. Across the political spectrum, we're a nation of decency. And what this president is doing is such a violation of the values of our nation.
Oh my gosh, Spartacus is mad. That's Cory Booker. He's running for president in 28, and he wants you to know that what Donald Trump is doing is despicable.
We are interested in having different perspectives that we bring forward. But when I look at the range of our programmings on public broadcasting, I can't make any sense of an argument that we are somehow biased in any way.
Could you imagine her looking into a camera, the head of PBS, and saying, I just can't imagine that we're biased in any way. Not at all. Overlook everything you've ever seen on PBS. This was a joke yesterday.
It's very rare to find a professor or somebody from the scientific community that has the level of empathy that he had. He recognized how heavy this was and the data that was in it. These were self-reported cancers.
Yeah, how about that? A nice little update yesterday for our friends over at Coldwater Creek and anybody affected by those radiation remains that were left scattered around the St. Louis area after World War II. This is the thing. This was a Harvard study, which apparently gives it extra credibility, but despite all the trouble Harvard's in these days, this Harvard study came out looking at cancer clusters. So remember, the RICA clause was in this latest big beautiful bill. We've talked about it this week and last, and it's going to include money, maybe up to $50,000 for people who grew up there in North County around Coldwater Creek. I think there are 20 or 21 zip codes. If you lived there and you developed certain types of cancer, this is going to make you eligible for a potential payout for a portion of the cost of medical bills if you have someone who's deceased because of this, or if it's you personally, potentially up to $50,000 from a government fund. And now this what they've been looking for all these years is this confirmation of where the risk zone was. And finally, it looks like they're getting down to brass tacks here. I'm not quite sure why it's taken so long. But if you listen to Dawn Chapman, she's one of the ones that helped to create this group to begin with of people looking at this. It kind of narrows it down a little bit to proximity. And that's kind of the key here, I believe. This is where she kind of explains what the study unveiled. Go to cut 8, please. Oops. What do we got?
Harvard University released a new study today. Their study used baby tea from 4,200 people who grew up around the creek between 1958 and 1972. It found people who live less than a mile from the creek had a 44% risk of developing cancer.
Wow. Listen to that. Almost a 50% increase, a 50% greater chance almost of developing cancer if you lived within a mile. Did it say a mile of that creek?
Yeah, they say 1 kilometer, which is funny that they said kilometer because no one goes by that here. But basically, yes, it's like 0.6 miles. So it's just over a half mile. They're saying 40% increase in your chance of developing cancer. But then they said something about in the article, it was kind of confusing the way they phrased it, but it was like if you're more sensitive to the radioactive material, then you had an 85% increase in the likelihood that you would develop cancer because of exposure.
Well, I mean, I hope that people, I know there are, here's the bottom line. There are a lot of people out there who have a lot of questions about all of this. And the only way to know for sure is to try to get the information yourself. Remember that we had earlier this week, we had Tricia Burns on, the state representative, and she was talking about this regional town hall meeting that's coming up. My guess is this study is going to get a lot of attention to that. So you may have thought, well, I don't think I was really in the high risk zone. And then you find out that you did live within a mile of that creek and there were some unusual cancers in your family. And guess what? You have questions. So just as a reminder here, that is coming up August 9th at the Spencer Library in St. Peter's, Missouri at 11:30 in the morning. Or I'm sorry, at 10 in the morning, 10 to 11:30. It's slated for an hour and a half, 10 a.m., August 9th, Spencer Library, St. Peter's, Missouri. So they're going to have a Q&A session along with Tricia Burns and a couple other people who will be there trying to answer questions. Now, they may not have all the answers because this thing is just passed and it's being created now, Missouri's inclusion in this RICA fund. But they're going to have some answers, and they're going to be talking about this study and how close you might have lived to this creek and what the impact on it was, and maybe the impact on your life, which is, I don't know that, to be honest with you, I don't know how you put a price on that. I don't know. It's $50,000 enough, but it's something, and it's something people up there haven't had up until now, and I'm glad that they finally got their hands on this study talking about these clusters of cancer. What an absolute disaster. My wife's family probably grew up very close to within a mile of that. I know my wife talks about my brother-in-law playing in a offshoot of Coldwater Creek. It was probably another creek that fed into Coldwater Creek. I don't know how much time he spent in Coldwater Creek, but everybody who was up there might have had some exposure to this, and it's good to know. All right. Still lots to get to. We'll get to Kim on a Whim here at the bottom of the hour. Right now, Ethan, let's get to our national anthem, please.
If you put hands on an ICE officer, you should be prosecuted, you should be sent to jail, and you should get to spend some quality time with Bubba.
John Kennedy, one of my favorites. Yeah, he's absolutely right. This sharp uptick, not surprisingly, in violence against our law enforcement officers and ICE. And encouragement on the left for more of it. It sickens me. Who are these people? Many of them are Democrat congresspeople who think it's okay to encourage illegals, people who are illegal alien criminals, to attack law enforcement. Because, you know, every day in America, Kim, I don't know if you're aware of this, you probably should be, every day in America, random unmarked cars pull up on street corners, abduct people and kidnap them and leave, and they're never heard from again. Did you know that?
Oh, all the time.
I mean, yeah. It might happen 15 or 20 times a day right here in St. Louis.
Easily.
Said no one ever. If when there are abduction attempts, you hear about it. These things don't randomly happen. Criminals don't just run around abducting people. It might happen within gang circles. It doesn't happen to normal, everyday Americans, and it's not happening now. This is a lie perpetrated by people who want to stir up nonsense. You know, yesterday they... When it comes to common sense, you John Kennedy of the South, Tommy Tuberville is another one from the South. When it comes to common sense, these are the people you probably shouldn't go up and ask dumb questions to. They went up to Tommy Tuberville and said, "What do you think about people who are American citizens who are being caught up in attempts to crack down on illegal aliens?" Tommy Tuberville, he doesn't suffer fools very well, although he's nice about it in that, well, bless your heart kind of way. Listen.
So, Senator, do you care if U.S. citizens accidentally get detained in ICE raids?
Well, first of all, don't put yourself in a situation where that happens, okay? And I'm sure with all the illegals we have in this country, you're going to probably have some mistakes happen. That's going to happen. But, again, as long as we take care of it the right way, understand they are assisting, let them go. But, again, if you're going to be hanging around people that are not citizens of this country, some things like that are going to probably happen.
Is there anything people can do to take care of themselves? Like, you know, how can they do to prevent
Don't
that?
Hang around illegals. Okay. Bottom line, because President Trump has said, we're going to go after you. And at the end of the day, if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, something bad could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that?
How can I avoid getting arrested for shoplifting? Well, it's simple. Don't shoplift.
How can I avoid getting swept up if I'm hanging out at my local crack house? Well, I would suggest you don't hang out with crackheads.
You know, Congressman Bob Onder had a really good analogy, and it said that legal immigration and illegal immigration is similar to shopping and shoplifting.
It's true.
Very different things.
Two,
it's a great analogy.
Very different things. I saw that post myself the other day, and I thought it was a good one. Very true. And this is the problem you have with the people on the left that are out of touch. And some of the things they're saying about what Donald Trump is doing is just over the... I mean, it's outrageous what they're suggesting. That, you know, what did... That he's dehumanizing people. I think that's the phrase that they like to use all the time. What was Whoopi Goldberg, Sonny Hostin were... Well, they were talking not about the immigration issue. They were talking about cuts to USAID. And Whoopi came across some report somewhere that some food stores that were supposed to be sent overseas were instead being destroyed. And she just lost what's left of her collective mind. Along with Sonny Hostin, go to Cut 18 there.
Just burning it.
Just destroying it.
Yeah.
For no good reason other than you're a bonehead. This is criminal.
It's like a crime against humanity.
This had happened in some other country, America would have been all over that country.
It's a crime against humanity that the United States decided not to give some food aid. It had planned in advance to some third world country somewhere. It's a crime against humanity. I mean, it's not quite like they put a piece of bread on a fishing line and dangled it in front of a starving kid and then pulled it back and said, oops, she almost got it. They didn't do that. So I love the fact that this rescission bill it passed on a final vote yesterday. And to hear the left this morning, as I've listened to some of the news headlines around the country, you would have thought that we've cut off somebody's left foot. I mean, how dare you go back and cut $9 billion? And then they'll say, well, you do understand that this is less than 0.1% of the U.S. budget. So in other words, we just shouldn't cut anything. We should have no interest in cutting any waste, fraud, and abuse unless it's more than 0.1% of the federal budget.
Well, that was what I was saying yesterday, as you think about telling that to Dave Ramsey when you're trying to pay off your own debt and you have credit card debt and someone says, well, I don't have $5,000 to put toward my debt. I only have $300. So I'm probably better off not even making a payment because it really won't make a dent. He would laugh in your face. Of course you do. I understand you don't stop there and just say, well, that's good enough, because it's not good enough. But you have to at least start somewhere. And then you have the snowball effect. And that's when you really can actually start paying off debt.
Yeah. And we'll talk more about this later. But the cuts are strategic, is what they are in many cases. Things that for conservatives have been a stick in our craw for a long time. Things like National Public Radio. I remember a tagline when I worked at WMUB in Oxford, Ohio, when I was in college. And we would have to say, without the public, it's only radio. That was their tagline. Well, without the public's money, you wouldn't be operating. Can we put it that way? And I know they solicit donations and they have fundraisers all the time, but NPR and PBS get a chunk of change from the federal tax dollar. And now what they're saying now is, we're not doing that anymore. You can't sit back and cloak your liberalism in journalism, which is what you've done, and get paid by the taxpayer to do it. And the woman who runs PBS was incredulous about this yesterday. Go to cut 14, please.
We're always interested, obviously, in making sure that we're serving a multiplicity of viewpoints. You know, Bill Buckley made his home on public broadcasting with a series called Firing Line, which continues today with Margaret Hoover. We are interested in having different perspectives that we bring forward. But when I look at the range of our programmings on public broadcasting, I can't make any sense of an argument that we are somehow biased in any way.
Chicken crap.
Yeah, she brings up Firing Line as an example of the fact that they had one conservative on 35 years ago. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
I'm guessing most of you remember when former ESPN reporter Sam Ponder was fired last August.
Yes.
Remember that?
I remember us talking about that.
And, and really what it came down to, it seemed like, was a post that she had made. It was really a tweet. And it was when that guy, Imani Khalif, or however you say his name, was boxing a woman. And
yes,
the woman, remember,
had
dropped to her knees at one point and was saying, this is ridiculous. And so Ponder had posted a tweet saying, XY equals male, XX equals female. And that was just a few weeks before she ended up getting fired. Well, she went on Sage Steele's podcast yesterday and opened up about her firing for the very first time. And she was saying that, like I just read to you, in a matter of weeks after tweeting some of these things about trans athletes, she got a text or something and said, hey, can you jump on a really quick call with this person and this person? And she said that one of them was the boss she never met with. And so the writing was on the wall. She said it was very obvious that was exactly what they were going to be discussing. So, of course, she did end up getting fired. And so I want to play a little bit of this conversation that she had with Sage, because she doesn't think that was the only reason that she was fired from ESPN.
I do not believe, nor have I ever believed, that I was solely fired for this. I think the model of my career at that point, of only working Sundays in the fall on Countdown, was not what ESPN wanted, and they felt like they were paying me too much money to do just one thing. And I had turned down opportunities in the past to work more and do more because of the season of life I'm in. Like, I got three little kids, and I'm not giving up that time with them for any opportunity. So I had been really clear on my boundaries with work. So I really don't think me losing my job was solely because of that, but the timing of it almost certainly was. And I was told after the fact, you know, privately, that most people at the top of the company did agree with me on this issue, but that there is a...
The trans issue.
Yes, but that there is a loud activist group at Disney, and they were not happy with me.
Ah, and there it is.
There it is,
so
right at the
Disney,
end.
The ownership group, is really who was upset about everything. Because when you look at studies that talk about where the country is on this trans issue as far as biological men competing with women, it's like 85% of people. So clearly quite a few liberals agree that biological men should not be competing with biological women.
And the truest test to that is we happen to know somebody who's pretty liberal, who used to be a swimmer, who privately confided that they were deeply offended by allowing men to swim against women, but they couldn't express that in their circle of friends for fear of being basically shut out in the academic world. So this is a very personal issue for most people. Even if their lefty loony friends don't want to admit it, there are many, many people who privately understand men should not compete against women. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't. No matter how politically correct you think it might be, it robs our daughters of the ability to excel after years of hard work in a sport.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting that she says she doesn't think that was solely the reason. Now, this article on OutKick says the network was paying Ponder more than $1 million a year to appear on air fewer than 20 days a year. Now, when you're paying someone that much money, I'd love to make that much money. When you're paying someone that much, I can understand that you'd expect them to be a little bit more plugged in. But to her credit, she says, look, I have a young family. She has three kids. I think it's like 10 or 12 is her oldest, down to, I don't even know, probably four. I'm probably just a little bit older than my son, Easton. I get that. I mean, when you want to prioritize your family and raising them, I respect the fact that she said, look, I'm not willing to cave on this. Now, I don't think that's old. I think the nail in the coffin was the tweet. And I think she agrees that that was probably the nail in the coffin, but maybe they had already been frustrated by her working hours.
Good for her, though. I mean, look, she's in good company. Mm-hmm. Sage Steele basically left that company, Disney, for the same reason. Correct me if I'm wrong, right?
Yeah, from what
now,
I remember.
Now, Sam Ponder, you've got a bunch of people who have disassociated themselves from Disney and ESPN because of the loony left that runs Disney that exerts their influence. Guess what else they own? ABC News.
Yeah.
So if you don't think that influence filters down to media coverage on the news side, you're smoking something.
Oh, absolutely. You played the clip earlier from the president of PBS, and she had the audacity to say, I look at our programming, and, you know, we have, earlier in the clip, she said, we have Daniel Tiger. That's just an educational show for kids. Now, I don't think I've ever seen an episode of Daniel Tiger, so I don't know if there's any sort of, like, wokeism in it.
Of course there is.
But you look at other programming on PBS and the things you hear on NPR, and it's not like every single thing that's on there is liberal. I get that. But there's enough on there that we shouldn't be spending any of our taxpayer dollars to support that. I don't understand why they can't, just like KMOV and Fox 2 and KSDK, every other station, I don't understand why they can't generate revenue from advertising. And I had somebody on my Facebook when I post that say, well, you know, that then can create a conflict of interest, and then they're slaves
really?
To them. Well, to his point, I said I disagree with him. However, obviously, when you look at the number of commercials, like from Big Pharma, all these vaccines and drugs that they've come out with, that can have an impact. And I will be the first to tell you that, because I wanted to talk about the adverse reaction from the COVID shot, and my boss at KMOV was making it extremely difficult. Oh, yeah, you can do it, Kim. But it was like, oh, but you have to do this, 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 this. And I'm like, there's no way I'm ever going to be able to do that. And I think ultimately he was trying to make it where it was very near impossible for me to be able to. He could say, yes, I allowed her to do it, but it was going to be very hard for me to do
so. Right, but they can't make the argument that when they were getting public money, they weren't biased, but if they were getting commercial money, they would be biased. Are you, I mean, how can you make that argument?
Well, I just think we shouldn't be funding them with tax dollars.
Tax dollars should not be involved in it. And if they're doing solid work, they'll be able to get the kind of ads and sponsorships that they need to run a commercial radio station. Mm-hmm. It's a cutthroat world out there, right? I mean, when I worked at Channel 4, and clearly the lines are blurred now, and I always go back to the Channel 4 example because it's where I spent 20 years of my life. And I didn't spend 20 years of my life at Channel 2 or Channel 5, so I don't know how things were run over there. But I remember when they first floated the idea of having a weather segment sponsored by an advertiser, where the anchor would actually have to say the words, "This weather brought to you by," the newsroom was exasperated. Like, we couldn't believe they were about to cross that line. Like, we were on the first floor, the sales department was on the second floor. Ne'er the two shall meet. Like, you knew who the salespeople were, but they weren't out there selling you to do private endorsements or personal endorsements or any of that stuff. Because as a news organization, you're supposed to keep yourself separate from that. Now you can't watch any newscast in America that's not sponsored by, this segment sponsored by, weather brought to you by a car dealership or,
right.
I mean, whoever it happens to be. Now, so what happens, the question there for these journalists is, as you know, what happens if you have to go out and report some negative news on that car dealership? It's a challenge.
Oh, it is. I remember having those discussions in the newsroom. And just like you said, when they were announcing that, I think it was some car dealership that was sponsoring the weather car. I forget what they call it over at Channel 4. But if there were like two drops of rain falling from the sky, they get in the weather vehicle and drive around and tell people, you know, if it's raining and what their commute will look like and all these things. Even though we had traffic, we had to also be out in the road telling them as a reporter, and that was sponsored. And I remember we were all concerned about that because, you know, does this pose some sort of a conflict if there is some negative press about them? We have cover it.
You're right. Yeah, that it's a point. I mean, their Great Day show over there is a sales show.
Absolutely.
Everything on it just about is sponsored.
Well,
and the people that are on it are, but they don't
hide
fool
that.
You about that.
Right.
They don't hide that. Mm-hmm. And NPR can go out and get some local, you know, Left Bank Books or something to buy advertising with them if they love them that much. And in the commercial breaks, you'll hear, a commercial for Left Bank Books. That doesn't mean that the news anchor is biased for Left Bank, even though we know they are, PBS and NPR. Doesn't mean they're biased for them. They're just getting ad revenue because that particular company chooses to support them. And they can, if we can do it, they can do it. And I couldn't be happier about that. But back to the Sam Ponder thing, good for her for speaking out. Mm-hmm. And good for, you know, it's great to have options. If you could work one day a week and make enough money to support your family, you'd do it too.
$1 million,
absolutely.
Working 20 days
absolutely.
A year. I think most of us would say, yeah, sign me up.
Good for her.
Love that.
Yeah. That's great. I would agree with that. I would agree with that completely. That's I'm going to have to go back and listen to that interview. I did not hear the full interview with her at all. All right, we are going to. Have you heard of the Dignity Act? Heard of that, Kim? Hmm. It's not amnesty, but a Republican rhino has introduced something called the Dignity Act, and we are going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back here in just a minute. Stay tuned.
That's why we're here today to introduce the Dignity Law. Dignity is not amnesty. Dignity does not grant path to citizenship to anybody. Dignity is the Solomonic way to fix a 40-year problem.
Yeah. So remember a couple weeks ago when President Trump hinted that they may be looking at a way to let some people stay here and work, and everybody freaked out and thought he was giving amnesty. He wasn't. I don't think he's interested in amnesty. But here comes Rhino Congresswoman Maria Salazar. Now, Maria has got a bunch of Democrats on board with her here, and a bunch of Republicans on board with her here. And she has decided that she is going to get, she's got Chris Coons, J.B. Pritzker, Joe Biden. She's appeared with Pritzker. She's appeared with Coons. She's appeared with Joe Biden at the World Economic Forum panel on American government in Davos. That's being reported by the Gateway Pundit this morning. So just so you know Salazar's background a little bit. She wants to replace the word amnesty with dignity and claim that what she's doing is not the same thing. What they want to prevent is mass deportation, which is what Donald Trump ran for office on. We're going to do the biggest mass deportation in the history of the world. But of course, that's not what the Democrats want, and that's clearly not what this rhino Republican congresswoman wants. But what she wants you to do is believe that it's possible to not use the word amnesty and still provide amnesty. In other words, she still wants all the illegals to get to stay, but she thinks that if she could pass this act, that she can let them stay with no public support whatsoever. Now, if you believe that, I've got a nice piece of swampland down in Florida I'll sell you. That if this situation continues to exist, you know, Democrats are going to come back into power at some point in Washington, D.C., either through Congress or through the presidency at some point. And the minute they do, they're going to give free medical care and welfare and all that stuff to illegals again. But just so you understand what Salazar is trying to do here, I wanted to let you hear her explain it in her own words. This is who she thinks needs the dignity bill. Go to cut 10, please.
The truth is that we still have over 10 million people or more working in construction, hospitality, agricultural, dairies, fisheries, slaughterhouses, who are undocumented, but who are not criminals. Human beings invisible to the average American, but without them, we will not have food by this Friday. Yes, they broke the law, but someone gave them a job because they needed those workers, workers who are still needed today. The Secretary of Homeland Security said it herself. Homeland Security, she said it herself clearly. Congress needs to write legislation to fix this mess. Well, here is the legislation, madam. No more need to choose between amnesty or deportation. Dignity bill is the answer.
How do you think this will work, Kim? You want to take a stab at it?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm fixated on her saying that they're undocumented. They're here illegally, but they're not criminals.
Well, she's making the same argument the left is that violating the United States border is like a statute. It's not a felony. It's more like an ordinance violation is basically what she's trying to argue. They are illegal. They're in the country illegal. And Donald Trump ran on the promise of reducing that population in the United States. Now, mathematically, it's a tough, steep climb. Once you get most of the criminals out, you still got that chunk of people who, are picking strawberries down to the local strawberry farm, or the child labor people that are working on cannabis farms in California. Because I don't know if you knew this, Kim, but Americans won't do that work. So what if we make these people Americans? Are they then going to say, well, I'm not doing this work anymore. I'm an American now. I mean, the argument is ridiculous. But just so you know what it means when you reclassify amnesty as dignity, go to cut 11, please.
And here's how it works. If you are undocumented and you have been in the country for more than 5 years, you do not have a criminal record. You're working and paying taxes. You can come out of the shadows with no fear and apply for the dignity status. That means they will pay a fine of $7,000 over 7 years, buy their own health insurance with no access to any federal programs, and contribute 1% of their salary to the United States Treasury. That is $50 billion plus. Just do the math. In return, they will never be deported. They will be able to go home for Christmas or to go bury their mother and come back to the United States to continue working and paying taxes. It gives them a dignified life in the promised land.
It gives them amnesty is what it gives them.
Never deported, even if they commit.
Never.
Like if they murder somebody.
So I'd like to know how does that work? You have a little card that the word dignity is stamped on it, and you have to go back to Colombia to bury a loved one. And then when you come back to the U.S. border, you just show them your dignity card and they let you back in. Like, I couldn't go to Mexico and get back into the country if I didn't have my passport as an American citizen. Mm-hmm. And if you believe for a second that the Democrats won't take this group of people, they'll treat them just like the Dreamers, and they'll make them a special class of people, and the first chance they get, they're going to give them every benefit available to every hardworking American, and then they'll try to make them citizens of the United States. This is not the solution to the immigration problem in this country. With a wink and a nod saying, it's okay, you've been here 5 years now, you've evaded the ICE people for five whole years, you get the award of getting to stay. No, that's not the answer here. You get in line like everybody else and you work. Ultimately, you get in line like everybody else in your country who wants to come here, and you come in legally to begin with. And if you want to self-deport, we'll help you do that. But that's your path to getting back in this country legally, just like everybody else did. It's pretty simple, I think. Coming up, we'll have some little big town tickets to give away. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.